T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To the organizers, and we thank them for promising up front to put together an appropriate and peaceful demonstration, and they did so. They lived up to their promises. On Saturday morning, a resident of Greenville, a young resident of Greenville, Ms. Dolores Bowens, organized a group in front of the Peace Center, and this was all done very quickly. This all happened in such a tight time frame. I invited folks to come, and a couple hundred people showed up at the Peace Center on Saturday morning for a great event, and it was peaceful, of course, as well. And then Saturday afternoon, again, put together quickly, and so not everything goes according to plan, because these things do happen quickly, but I want to thank Mr. Bruce Wilson and Mr. Derek Quarles for organizing that event and doing so again peaceably. As we may have some discussion, there were some issues along the way with that first large event, with so many people there and so little time to get it organized. There may have been some miscommunication along the way, but all told, it was peaceable, and people's voices were absolutely, definitely heard. And then on Sunday, and that was Black Lives Matter of Greenville. On Sunday is Black Lives Matters of the Upstate. Mr. Gerardio Kirtan showed up with his organization, and what an organization he had. He had some very fine people who really knew how to organize a large crowd like that, because these are enormous undertakings. I can't emphasize that enough, and you don't know who's going to show up and what everybody's going to do. I think on Sunday we had, close to 100,000 people perhaps, and that was also a place where people expressed themselves very passionately and very loudly. But at the same time, it was peaceable, and this didn't happen by accident. The organizers promised that we would have peaceful demonstrations in Greenville in our downtown, and we did. And I want to thank them for holding that line and maintaining that commitment. Second, I want to thank the participants, of course, who showed up. We had people of all ages. If anybody thinks they saw a glimpse of this kind of person or that, no, you didn't. It was extremely diverse. All ages of people, young people. I saw 10 and 11-year-olds with their family, people in all walks of life. And the participants who showed up, they conducted themselves well in our downtown and walked all over downtown, marched and chanted, again, with great passion, but safely and appropriately. And then, of course, our professional law enforcement community. The sheriff and the police chief, thank you, gentlemen, for superb professionalism by your department, the people in your department. They had a lot on them. I'm sure they'd be the first to admit they perhaps would do some things differently, but the idea was to allow people to have their say and to move about the city, and I'm sure there'll be some questions to them about some tactics and some maneuvers here and there, but overall, in fact, everybody's grateful that it was a safe event, an event where people could have their say. And again, things were good in Greenville, South Carolina, and I think the message was very well delivered. The main purpose of today's press conference, though, and I'm here to learn as well, is to review this weekend's activities. I'm going to be taking notes. I think all of us will be, because you know we can learn from every experience like this. In fact, I would even say, I think the police chief and sheriff would agree with me, that we We learned from, they learned from Saturday's event. They learned things that helped them on Sunday's event. And perhaps in some ways, Sunday's event went more smoothly than Saturday's event. But we learned, and we learned along the way. And I think that's going to be our attitude in the city of Greenville going forward as well. So here today, we have the police chief, Interim Chief Thompson, and Sheriff Lewis will have remarks. And then after that, we have Mr. Stacy Mills, Urban League of the Upstate. We have Reverend J.M. Fleming, NAACP. And we have Lillian Brock Fleming, Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Greenville, for some remarks and discussion as too. And again, I want to say this is really an information session to ask questions. There were incidents and episodes. There were learning opportunities. And again, I'm here to take notes as well and have my own questions, because this is a process we will carry on for the next couple of days as we learn from this. But above everything else, we are a grateful community that people in Greenville came together in such large numbers on such short notice, made their voices heard, and did it peaceably. That is saying a lot. So thank you.
Hello, Patriots. Greetings, welcome, salutations, Monday, alohas to you. Getting a bit of a late start here in hour number two because we wanted to bring you live the remarks from this afternoon's news conference downtown with Mayor Knox White and many of the principals who were involved in the handling of the events over the weekend here in Greenville. Great to have you along as we kick off hour number two. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and take part in the conversation. Just grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number is 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. So Mayor White, with kind words all around for the individuals in law enforcement, in city government, and those on the side of the protesters for the calm way in which the events of the weekend were handled here in Greenville. It was substantially, obviously, much more peaceful than what we witnessed in many other major American cities across the landscape. So you can't argue with success. The tactics that they employed obviously were successful. But it should not be overlooked that the presence of the Sheriff's Department and the GPD on the scene, I suspect, went a long way towards discouraging any of the anarchy, the burning, the looting, the thuggery that we saw in other cities. And I suspect that the police presence served to discourage that. So kudos to them for the planning and the implementation of the handling of the events that transpired over the weekend. There are a number of pieces that have been written about this already that I think strike the nail on the head. One of those, there's a lady named Heather McDonald. She is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. You may not be familiar with that group. The official name is the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. It is a leading free market think tank. And they have a magazine called City Journal that has really, really good offerings from time to time. And so that's why I look at it on a fairly routine basis. And you find some gems there, including the one written by Ms. McDonald today that I want to share part of it with you, because this is a topic that she has been writing on, public safety, the social order, for some time. And in the wake of the events, terrifying events to many over the weekend, she has written about that. Her piece is called Darkness Falls, The Collapse of the Rule of Law Across the Country, Intensified by Antifa radicals. And I'll share that with you. We're right on top of our first break already because we ran obviously a little long taking the comments of Mayor White in the news conference this afternoon. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show, quarter after four here on Monday on WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. 421 now here on the Bobby Mack Show. Apologies. We've been discombobulated a little bit here on Monday, and so as a result, I am substantially behind on the text line, and I'll make a concerted effort to get caught up there coming up in the next few minutes. Now then, as I mentioned, and Miss Moneypenny already has posted this piece on our Facebook page, written by Heather McDonald at the website City Journal, entitled Darkness Falls. Savagery is spreading with lightning speed across the United States, with murderous assaults on police officers and civilians, and the ecstatic annihilation of businesses and symbols of the state. You may have seen, by the way, let me interject here, in Washington, the Lincoln Memorial and the Veterans Administration building were vandalized, amongst others. Welcome to a real civilization-destroying pandemic. One that makes the recent saccharine exhortations to stay safe and the deployment of police officers to enforce outdoor mask wearing seem like decadent bagatelles. This pandemic of civil violence is more widespread than anything seen during the Black Lives Matter movement of the Obama years, and it will likely have an even deadlier toll on law enforcement officers than the targeted assassinations we saw from 2014 onward. It's worse this time because the country has absorbed another 5 years of academically inspired racial victimology. From Ta-Nehisi Coates to the New York Times 1619 Project, the constant narrative about America's endemic white supremacy and its deliberate destruction of the black body has been thoroughly injected into the political bloodstream. Facts don't matter to the academic victimology narrative. Far from destroying the black body, whites are the overwhelming target of interracial violence. Between 2012 and 2015, blacks committed 85.5% of all black-white interracial violent victimizations, excluding interracial homicide, which is also disproportionately black-on-white. That works out to 540,360 felonious assaults on whites. Whites committed 14.5% of all interracial violent victimizations, or 91,470 felonious assaults on blacks. Blacks, of course, less than 13% of the national population. If white mobs were rampaging through black business districts, assaulting passerby and looting stores, we would have heard about it on the national news every night. But the black flash mob phenomenon is grudgingly covered, if at all, and only locally. The national media have been insisting on the theme of the allegedly brutal Minneapolis Police Department. They said nothing as black-on-white robberies rose in downtown Minneapolis late last year, along with savage assaults on passerby. Why are the Minneapolis police in black neighborhoods? Because that's where violent crime is happening, including shootings of two-year-olds and lethal beatings of 75-year-olds. Just as during the Obama years, the discussion of the allegedly oppressive police is being conducted in the complete absence of any recognition of street crime and the breakdown of the black family that drives it. Once the violence began, any effort to understand it should have stopped, since that understanding is inevitably exculpatory. The looters are not grieving over the stomach-churning arrest and death of George Floyd. They're having the time of their lives. You don't protest or mourn a victim by stealing OxyContin, electronics, jewelry, and sneakers. Fittingly, the ideological handmaiden of this violence, academia, has already sprung into action. The chancellors and presidents of Harvard, University of Arizona, University of Pennsylvania, and Yale, among others, released statements over the weekend assuring their black students of their school's commitment to racial equity in light of the George Floyd death, an event wholly unrelated to the academic. No college leader denounced the violence. UCLA's chancellor, Jean Block, as well as the school's $400,000 a year Vice Chancellor for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, and a parade of deans announced that the Office of Equity, Diversion, and Inclusion and the school's legions of equity advisors would be coming up with new programs for virtual reflection spaces in which to humbly acknowledge the pain. The school's resources for racial trauma would also be beefed up. The academic diversity bureaucracy has now been given a whole new excuse for existence and can be assured that it will escape the cost-cutting chopping block, even as universities beg the federal government for more coronavirus bailout money. The great philosophers and poets of the West, from Euripides to Shakespeare, Hobbes, and the American founders, understood the chaos and lust for power that lurk beneath civilization. Thanks to the magnificent infrastructure of the rule of law, we now take stability and social trust for granted. We assume that violence, once unleashed in the name of justice, can easily be put back in the bottle. It cannot. It was a symbol, a signal accomplishment of both politics and science to banish humanity's millennia-long fear of darkness. That city dwellers are now re-experiencing that fear with each fall of night is a measure of how rapidly we are losing our hard-won progress. Heather McDonald has written, in fact, a bestseller on this theme entitled The diversity delusion, how race and gender pandering corrupt the university and undermine our culture. The piece that she wrote, Darkness Falls, can be found on our Facebook page. Oh, and there is this headline as well. A professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, now getting backlash on Twitter today after she launched a series of tweets instructing protesters about how to successfully pull down monuments as rioters torched the nation's symbols. Sarah Parsak, an Egyptologist who specializes in ancient architecture, says she is an expert on obelisks, including the shape of a Washington Monument. She noted obelisks might be masquerading as a racist monument. Washington set ablaze, stores looted and destroyed over the weekend. What she do, her reaction is to tweet out play-by-play instructions, essentially another anarchist handbook on how to destroy many monuments, including Confederate monuments. Just keep pulling down till there's good rocking. There will be more and more and more tilting. You have to wait more for the obelisk to rock back and time it to pull when it's coming to you. And then she drew a diagram on how to do it. Wonder if she'll be suspended by the university for encouraging this kind of anarchy and violence. Nah. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready in the news center. I'm right back on the other side. Here we are on Monday on the Bobby Mack Show, WORD.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. 4:37 now, 23 before 5. Well, this should be a step in the right direction. The Attorney General has now directed riot teams to Miami and the nation's capital amid the unrest. You know, these people who were engaged in anarchy up in the research triangle around Raleigh, they came within 5 miles of my brother's house last night. He emailed me to let me know. And Fayetteville, North Carolina, also suffered extensively. These Antifa people don't realize how lucky they are that some of these Delta ops, some of the Berets, some of the Spec Ops guys were not released on them. Would have had a different conclusion. I mentioned that I was way behind on the text line, so let me make a valiant effort at catching up, sadly, going back to an hour ago. Bobby, did you listen to the interview Rush had with the Breakfast Club? I got to admit, I like the 1980s movie version better. This 2020 radio show version, they were just reciting BLM talking points Limbaugh got his point across, but like typical progressives, of course, they weren't listening. Bobby, so at work, we have not had to wear a mask until now, but only if the person we are dealing with has one on. I am so tired of this crap. And that's a quote. Those who are trying to peacefully protest should be outraged over the actions of Antifa and BLM. Black Americans should stand up and speak out against the rioters and looters who have hijacked their cause. Yeah, as Mr. Floyd's brother, in fact, has. Bobby, you mentioned at the beginning of the program, this is Monday, a work day. Don't these people have jobs? Of course they have jobs. Loot and pillage. They're getting paid to do this. You seen the videos of the Antifa leader paying them and telling them where the bricks were positioned in Dallas? I don't understand why this guy isn't in cuffs already. His video's all over the internet. When I was doing my show in Columbus, Ohio, from a conservative event up there a number of years ago, there was a leftist-inspired protest that was going on. In fact, a bomb threat was called into the venue where the event was going to be held. And so I went across the street to interview some of these people, and they were wearing, you know, these T-shirts with leftist slogans and all the rest. And I said to one of these guys, I said, what are you protesting for today? What's your purpose in being here? And he said, my purpose in being here is because I got $100 for showing up and wearing this shirt. That is a direct quote, okay? Bobby, the media claims the Russians are behind the ongoing violence. Then again, they claim the Chinese are not responsible for the coronavirus. Yeah. Former national security advisor to Obama, Susan Rice, had maybe the most bizarre suggestion in a televised interview Sunday that the Russians could be behind the violent nationwide demonstrations. The Russians. Yeah, wait till Pelosi and Adam Bullschiff get hold of this. They'll have a whole new investigation going. Bobby, I'm so upset after listening to the interview Rush had with the Breakfast Club. Why can't he get Candace Owens or David J. Harris on instead of those guys? I mean, they were so rude and hateful and even told him to rest in peace at the end, still fuming. Well, they show their true colors, which I'm sure is what Rush intended. Bobby, it's almost like the old Bill Cosby bit about the British wearing red uniforms and marching in a straight line. Bobby, I heard a story, but it was just a brief segment, nothing more. I don't know if you heard it, that de Blasio's daughter was one of the rioters arrested. Yeah, we did mention that in the last hour. The mayor of New York's daughter was arrested, blocking traffic. On it goes, Bob, back to the 1900s, around 1917, 1920s, anarchists, they were snuffed out by the government, didn't rear up again until the 60s, but neither of those combined is any equal to what is going on now. This is their Tet Offensive. Bobby, you know, the virus is just so last week. Yeah, really is. Right off the front pages. Mm-hmm. Back now on page A14. Isn't it amazing? In that Heather McDonald piece, she made an aside reference to it. The police now not having to go out looking for people not wearing masks. So, you know, but, you know, this goofy mayor in Minneapolis, he was out there reminding the protesters, make sure you wear a mask, you know, COVID-19. Bobby, we need riot control South African or Pakistan style. Bob, media claiming the Russians behind the violence, Antifa committing much of it, but the ACLU claims the president can't declare Antifa a terror group because they are a domestic group. Oh, yeah? Well, I would suggest they're going to lose that one in court. Bobby, it strikes me as the low-life Rahm Emanuel theory of politics. Never let a crisis go to waste. Bobby, I love the story you mentioned about the looters robbing the looters. No honor among thieves. Bobby, have you learned why they threw Mr. Floyd on the ground after a peaceful cuffing? Did you hear our lame governor yesterday begging people to come here and protest? Said he'll be nice to him. Bobby, I had a moment of clarity. My son's graduation, when we were told at the end to avoid downtown Greenville because of escalating violence. When my wife said the businesses downtown just reopened, I knew this was intentional. The leftists are destroying businesses all over the nation just as they were reopening from the Wuhan flu shutdown. This isn't about Mr. Floyd. This is all about defeating President Trump in November. Bob, I guess this should destroy the demand for vote by mail, huh? Well, not if Pelosi has anything to say about it. Quarter before five here on the Bobby Mac Show. We go to the phones when I come right back here on the Monday edition on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. Nice to finally get a little sunshine back in here as well and give everything an opportunity to dry out a little bit after what I guess either was the wettest May on record, or if it wasn't, it certainly felt like it. Thanks for patiently waiting. Back to the phones we go, beginning in Greer with Sarah. Hello, Sarah, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's always good to talk to you. Well, I was just kind of frustrated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if frustrated is the right word. I don't know what the right word is anymore for anything going on in this country and in the world. But when it comes to justice, justice does not deal with emotion. Justice deals with the facts. The aggressor and the person who has been aggressed, the victim and the aggressor. That's it. Justice is meted out by judges. Now,
right.
Judges are
and
under
juries.
The law.
Right, and juries.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. So this is a group of people that our civilization has given the right to mete out justice. So the country also, one of the pillars, which of course is justice, is also freedom.
Yes.
But freedom allows evil to prosper as well as good. So we're dealing with a conflict of a battle between good and evil.
Yes,
so we have those who prosper from evil and those who prosper from good. So the whole situation with Mr. Floyd is between him, his family, and the police officer that allegedly committed this crime. It's
right.
Between them. It has nothing to do with anybody else. What if Mr. Floyd was white? Would this
we
be
never would have heard.
Now?
Yeah. No, we never would have heard anything about it. And the facts. Are pretty much irrefutable. Was it 4 or 5 years ago, whichever it was, when this Somali native, who was a Minneapolis police officer, shot and killed a woman who had made a 911 call, leaned across his partner in their patrol car to shoot this woman in an alley. It took 9 months before he was even arrested. He is now in prison in Minnesota, but that case, which again was fairly blatant, took 9 months. In this instance, this guy was in jail within 48 hours, was charged, and look, you're right. At that point, the fact that he had been charged with criminal responsibility in the death of Mr. Floyd should have ended things. People should have said, okay, fine, the criminal justice system, the wheels are grinding. This guy will get his day in court, and it'll play itself out, and we'll see what happens. But you're right. There are peoples and organizations in this country who feel empowered to be able to convince everybody of their victimhood and to take advantage of the situation for their own nefarious means and ends, to loot, to beat people senseless, and all the rest of it. And it's pathetic. It's just pathetic.
Exactly. You are exactly right. So this has nothing to do with justice.
Correct.
People want justice, no matter what race you are. You want justice. Well, this is not justice, what's going on. This is just we're all talking about. It's perversion. It's destruction. It's anarchy. It's the craziness of human emotions to get all you can get out of a terrible situation. That's all it is.
Yeah, and sadly, if there is any allusion to justice in here, it is of the vigilante variety.
Exactly. So the stupidity of the whole situation. No, we want justice. If this police officer did an evil thing, a wrong thing, a terrible thing, then we want justice.
Absolutely.
According to his deed, and we want justice for Mr. Floyd. Doesn't matter whether he's black, white, green, yellow, purple. I don't care. Race has nothing to do with the situation of justice. You don't look at the person's race. You don't look at their financial ability or anything except the facts.
Well, and if we weren't up against well-entrenched leftists who want to use these situations for their own anarchistic needs and means and ends. If it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't see this. Sarah, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Good to have you here today. Quickly, Al is in Greer. Hi, Al, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hi, Bobby. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. Same to you.
Ask me how I'm doing, Bobby.
How are you doing, Al?
I'm surviving despite overwhelming odds.
A familiar feeling to yours truly.
Yes. Very good. Well, one actual question, but just to interject, I'm very proud of two of my four daughters. Both of them are in their COVID units of their respective hospitals, and I just want to say how proud I was of them. Great girls. But
you bet.
That's actually my question for you. One of them's at Spartanburg Regional, and I have not heard anything on the news. I was told that my daughter was not supposed to report to work last night and today because of protests shut down. Do you know anything about that at the hospital?
Just no. The only reports that I have heard, Al, have been through the jungle drums, through the grapevine. Nothing official. Okay. But I did hear those reports, but I have no official confirmation of them.
I just find it absolutely appalling. You have some of the most vulnerable individuals, and that's a location of choice for protesters?
Yeah.
I just simply don't grasp that.
Well, there are people who, for their own evil ends, will pick the most vulnerable targets of opportunity.
Yeah, apparently they have.
Yeah.
Thanks for the information, Bobby. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for the call, Al. Good to have you here today, sir. Got to take a break for the news here at the top of the hour. When we come back, 5 o'clock follies are on the way. I get right back to the phones because I know folks, callers have been patiently waiting. We'll get to you first when the follies begin on the other side here on the Bobby Mack Show on Monday on WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.